Yeah, I was a little bit worried last week because Tim was talking about Mary, and then he started going toward Joseph, and he talked a little bit, and I thought, and I had been planning this for like 3 weeks, and I thought, he's going to go there, and I'm going to have to come up with something completely different. Thank goodness he only stayed on it for about 30 seconds and moved on, so thank you very much, Tim. But yeah, I wanted to talk about, and I think it kind of amazed me that Tim took the Christmas story and looked at it. By the way, Matt, that beautiful thing that you had up there with the wise men and the star, can you put that back up? Just leave it up there during the message. Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's gorgeous, because it has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. I thought it would be, he talked about it from Mary's point of view and what we can learn from Mary and the Christmas story. Well, I want to talk about it from another angle. I want to talk about a reveal, a heartbreak, a dilemma, a dream, a revelation, a choice, a trip, a rejection, a vision, another dream, and another trip, all involving from the eyes and the heart of the person that I think is the unsung hero of the Christmas story. And that, of course, would be Joseph. And I think I try to take this in whenever God trying to gives me something to talk about. And I try to, especially when I'm talking about a particular person, I try to put myself in their shoes. And I realized I can't. I can't possibly put myself in Joseph's shoes. But I can try to understand and try to empathize. So picture, if you will, you're engaged to be married. Now, you all remember when you were engaged. You were in love. I mean, flat out in love. Nothing on the planet was more important than that person. Nothing. You couldn't get enough of them. You had to be with them all the time. You think about them all the time. You talk to them all the time. You couldn't breathe unless you were with them. That's just, they made you complete. They made you whole. They were the glue that kept you together. Well, Mary was Joseph's glue. She was the apple of his eye. She was her heartbeat. I talk about Melissa being my heartbeat because she is. She and my kids are my heartbeat. I don't exist without them. That's what Mary was to Joseph. And then imagine, Mary sits Joseph down and says, "Something I got to tell you. I'm with child." Now he knows it's not his because they've never been together. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Oh my gosh. Crushed, completely crushed. You imagine how his heart sank into the pit of his stomach. Just his life had just been destroyed. In their laws, Tim said last week, justification would have been a stoning, which not only would have killed Mary, would have killed the baby. So this is all flying through his brain. I have been violated. She has gone out and found someone else and made a baby while we were engaged. Now, then imagine she's trying to tell you, no, it was from God. Now, you're a man. Okay, you're a mortal human being, you're a man. And you are looking at this woman that is your life, and she's trying to tell you, I got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and you're going, I got a real, yeah, that's a little hard. Because we all know how babies are made. And that was not one of them that we were taught in school, okay, that our parents talked to us about. That was not one of them. So he had to try to bring that all into focus for himself. And of course he had a really hard time doing it. Of course he did. And think about what his family and friends were telling him. His family and friends were telling him, you got to get rid of her. You got to get rid of her. She defiled you. She defiled your relationship. She went out and slept around on you while you were engaged. You cannot stay with her. You got to get rid of her. That baby is a, you know what? It will never amount to anything. It's going to be cursed. It's going to be looked down upon. Whatever you do, you got to get rid of her. You got to get rid of her and get rid of that child, and you got to move on with your life. All of this, people were telling him. All of this they were telling him. In the meantime, he still loves her. He still loves her. And then there was the law. The law didn't say, you're just going to go kind of quietly take her away and divorce her in private. And, you know, the law didn't say that. And, of course, the people, the ones, you know, with their noses in the air, that was always the law is the law is the law is the law, you know, were telling him this is what has to be done. And, of course, his family was telling him this is what has to be done. This is what has to be done. So he has a dilemma. He has an amazing dilemma. Here I am. Here I am. I have this woman that I love. And not only do I love her, but now there's a baby in there. Now there's a baby in there. And now I've got this woman that I love, and now I've got this baby that isn't mine. What in the world am I going to do? Can you imagine the consternation inside that man? Can you imagine how he thought about this day and night? How many sleepless nights he had where he couldn't get this out of his brain? What in the world am I going to do? Do you imagine how many times he hit his knees and prayed, Father, you gave me this woman. Now look, what am I going to do? Well, then along comes a dream. And it's funny because an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. Always thought it was funny and interesting that when the angel appeared to Mary, he came right to Mary. And when a dream is, boom, here I am. Hi there, how are you? Now, I'm, you know, picturing this because we've had people, I've known people that have said that they have seen angels. And the angels that they've seen are like 10, 12 feet tall. I mean, these are big people, big spirits, big, powerful. But I think, you know, the angel can probably put himself in whatever form needs to be made in order to get the connection that he or she needs to make with the person that they're visiting. But it was interesting, and Tim probably knows the reason why, and he'll probably expound on it when I get done talking today, why he appeared directly to Mary but appeared to Joseph in a dream. You don't know that. Okay. That would be an interesting one for someone to research sometime, why that happened. But anyway, so this dream comes. And it says, and when Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. Now, this is from Matthew 1, verse 18 through 24. Matthew 1, 18, 24. He planned to dismiss her quietly, but just as he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now imagine this. All this is going on, right? You got a woman that you're engaged to, that you love with all your heart, and she's now pregnant with a child that's not yours, and you're going through all of this stuff, and you go to sleep one night, the little bit of sleep you do get, and all of a sudden an angel appears in your dream. So this guy's been batted around like a badminton birdie, you know? And it says, and the angel of the Lord said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear up a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. So the angel of the Lord comes and, in fact, verifies what Mary told him. It really is a conception from the Holy Spirit. Okay, now think about this. Now he's got this woman that he loves. Now he's got this baby that an angel of the Lord told him was an immaculate conception by the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be the earthly father of the Savior of the world. No pressure. None whatsoever. I'm not hanging anything on you. I just took the woman you loved, gave her a baby through the Holy Spirit, and that baby's gonna rule the world and save the world, and you got to take care of it. So now what do you think Joseph is going through? I have been entrusted. I have been entrusted by God to take care of the Savior of the world and the woman who's going to bear him. Don't know about you fellas, but I think I'd be, you know, changing my underwear after that little announcement. I would be just a little bit scared. Just my knees might be knocking just a little. I might be a little bit nervous, a little bit thrown off, a little bit in tumult after all of that. But what does Joseph do? He does exactly what the angel of the Lord told him to do. He follows the instructions. Okay, now let's flash back to what happens now. Now he tells his family, I'm not going to divorce her. I am going to marry her. And I am going to raise this child. So you can imagine what's going on now. The ridicule that he's being put under, the scrutiny that she's being put under, the whispers every time they go anywhere. People are whispering and pointing and laughing and ridiculing and doing all of those things. Everything going on that we as stupid human beings do. You know, like Tim says, we get the spirit of stupid on us. And that's what happens. So these stupid people, they have no idea. They didn't have a dream. No angel appeared to them, told them what was going on. All they know is she got pregnant from another man while they were engaged, and this idiot is going to take care of her. You know, that's the thought process of the average human being. But what did Joseph do? He took her in. He married her. And then he worked to make sure that everything was going to be fine, just like we all do. Guys, we've all had wives who were bearing our child. Do you remember what that felt like? Yeah. She's carrying a life in there. She is helping God create. I've always thought, you know, down through history, women have always, you know, been down here. And in some countries, they still are. Well, I always thought the woman was a few notches above me. God creates life through them. You remember what that felt like here? There's a baby in there that you're soon going to hold in your arms and you're going to raise to the best of your ability. And she goes through everything that women go through when they're pregnant. It's pleasing and fun, isn't it, ladies? There's no back pain. There's no pains. There's no misery. You're never hot. You know, nothing ever aches. Your legs don't go numb. You don't have to lay a certain way at night just to get 3 hours of sleep. You know, none of that ever happens. And yet, women do that. And they do it over and over in some cases. Why? Because they love their husband, because they love having babies, and because they love helping God create life. So this is all going on. He is trying his very, very best to take care of her and this baby that's on its way. After having gone through all of the ridicule, all of the doubt, all of the consternation, all of the tears, all of the heartbreak, all of everything that went on, now he knows she's got the Savior of my people growing inside of her. And I have this enormous responsibility to take care of her. And then, in Luke 2, verse 1 through 5, we learn that it came to pass that in the days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So this decree comes out. We can't just have this baby here. It can't happen, right? We can't just nestle into our little home that we have, that we've built together. That can't happen. Just before she's about to give birth to this child, out comes this decree. You got to go. So they pack up what they can pack up, and they go. Now, you know, there is a lot of accounts. Did she ride on a donkey? Whatever. I remember Tim talking about this once. It was more than likely that she walked. So here they are, walking to Bethlehem with her being ready to deliver a child. Just one more fun challenge in this adventure that the unsung hero of Christmas is going through. I would imagine he didn't sleep too much. I would imagine that he did everything he could to keep her comfortable. She was about to deliver their baby. So he was doing everything for her, everything. He made sure she was comfortable. He made sure she had plenty to drink, plenty to eat, whatever she needed. He took care of her selflessly under a very trying, trying circumstance. So they get to Bethlehem, right? And they go to where you would normally go in to get a room. Well, as we all know, the story says there was no room at the inn. Now, there are accounts of whether it was an upper room or whatever, and whether they put them in a barn or a stable. Or that's not the point of where I want to go today. But we know that they didn't get a room in the inn that other people got, because they got there first, because there were so many people going to Bethlehem to be counted. Okay? They had to go a little slower. They couldn't run. They couldn't ride horses. They couldn't get there. They were poor people. They had to walk. And by the time they got there, there wasn't any place left. Now, I happen to think there's a real reason why Jesus wasn't born in a comfortable room in the inn. And I'll get to that in a minute. So, as it were, here they are, and they put them up. Look, I don't have any place for you in here, but I do have this stable over here. And we'll try to keep you as comfortable as we possibly can. Put over here. Obviously, he can see that the man's wife is about to deliver a child. So they put them over here. They keep them warm, do whatever they can to help under the situation. They just didn't cast them out into the night. Say, I got no room, sorry, go somewhere else. The innkeeper said, let me try to do something for you. Let me do the best I can for you. And that was the best he could do. So Joseph not only went through this reveal and the heartbreak and the dream and the consternation and the choice to go ahead and follow what the angel told him to do and taking care of a pregnant, soon-to-give-birth wife and the travel because of the decree of the government and then have to house everybody in a stable. All this And yet he stayed true and steadfast. Not one time did he throw up his arms and say, that's it, I've had it. I have had it. I'm done. This is too much. He stayed the course. He stayed the course because he loved her and he loved that baby and because he was true to God. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. You all know the Luke account of the birth. It's my favorite. It's wonderful. The days were completed for her to be delivered, and so she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. And then this came, Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Of course, we all know then that the shepherds went, as the angel told them to do, to Bethlehem to see this newborn baby. Now, I don't know the proximity of where Joseph and Mary and Jesus were in relationship to where this event happened, but it could not have been very far. Could not have been very far because the shepherds left their sheep where they were and wandered into the city or into Bethlehem. So it couldn't have been too far. So can you imagine, your wife has just given birth to the person that you know is the Savior of the world because it was revealed to you by God, and then all of a sudden this bright light shows up and the angels start singing. And this is all going on in real time in your real world. Whoa! Can you imagine what was going through his heart right then? I'm guessing, wow. I'm guessing validation. She was right. She told me this, and I didn't believe her, and she was true. She was right. The angel came to me and told me this, and I did what I could, even though I still had a little bit of doubt. I just don't know if this could possibly be true. Guess what? It's true. Right there, boy, there's angels and they're singing and they're singing praise and glory to God and peace to men. All of this is happening, and here's this baby. And then he probably had to look up and wonder, what in the heck is that bright light? And there's the star of Bethlehem, shining almost like a sun in the middle of the night. Can you imagine that? All this is going on. All this is going on. Now, Mary, I think, probably knew it was going to happen. There was just something innate about a woman's intuition, especially a woman who had been visited by an angel telling her this is exactly what's going to happen. So she probably was pretty calm. She knew all this was going to happen. Joseph, on the other hand, he was flying by complete and utter trust and faith. And all of this is going on. So he had to see and hear, I think, the angels. And I think that that leads me to my next point. The shepherds came to visit him. Now we know back then that shepherds weren't exactly high up on the ladder as far as social status. In fact, they were probably among the lower ladder, rungs on the ladder, and social status. Now think about this. If you were an innkeeper and a bunch of shepherds showed up and said, "Hey, we just got an angel visited us and told us that we should come to Bethlehem because the Savior of our people was born tonight. And we want to see it. And that innkeeper's going to go, you're not going in my hotel. You're not going to go up there in this room. You guys smell, for heaven's sakes. You smell like livestock. You got, you know, sheep dew on your shoes. You're not getting in my hotel. Right? Isn't that probably what would have happened? Of course that's what would have happened. But because he was born in a manger over here, the shepherds could come. And I think God did that on purpose to show us that Jesus came for the lowliest of men. He didn't just come for the learned or the wise or the wealthy or those that were considered holy and powerful and mighty. He came for everyone, everyone. And I think that was God's first sign to us of what Jesus was all about. I sent my only begotten Son for everyone. And I think that's why there was no room at the inn. He came for all people. Okay, so then this came. The Magi, three wise men, as they, you know, we like to refer to them, are in the east, and they see this star. And so they study, and they, what is this all about, and blah, blah, blah. And they see the prophecies about this king of the world that's coming, and there'll be the star, and we're going to go, and, you know, we're going to go see this new king. And so off they set, and they come through, and of course they have to stop at Herod's place and rest, and Herod is, you know, asking them all kinds of questions and what's going on. He said, oh, by the way, safe trip, and then stop by here on the way back and let me know where he's located so I can go and I can pay my honor too. And of course, then the Magi come, right? So we've had the so we have the two opposite ends of the spectrum. And the scripture says that Mary ponders all these things in her heart. Well, don't you think Joseph was pondering too? What is going on here? We're being visited by shepherds. That I can get because they just saw what I just saw up in the sky. And then we get visited by these kings from way far away. Interesting. And then this happens. Now, when the Magi had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord, again, appeared to Joseph in a dream, again, saying, arise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So now the birth has happened. He realized I'm raising literally the Son of God. And now I've got to pick my family, my new, brand new family up, and I've got to move to a different country. I've got to get out of here. I can't go back where I came from and do my carpentry work. I've got to leave to protect this child. So off we go again, and off we go again to another trip. Through all of this, through the baby reveal, if you will, through the heartbreak, through the dilemma, what do I do? Through the family and friends and the law and their pressure, and through the first dream, and through the trip to Bethlehem and the no room at the inn, and the visiting by the shepherds, and the appearance of the angels, and the Magi, and then the second dream, and now the flight to Egypt. Through all of this, Joseph stayed true to Mary and true to Jesus and true to God. Through all of this. Through all of this. Even when it didn't seem right, when it didn't seem real, when it didn't seem, you know, this isn't making sense, he kept going. So I think there's four lessons that we can learn from him. I think that Joseph probably exhibited the greatest act of trust ever exhibited between a man and a woman. Here his betrothed was telling him, I'm carrying a baby, but I did not have relations with another man. This came from God. I conceived of the Holy Spirit. That is a pretty wild thing to try to digest and to try to handle for an average male. I mean, ladies will tell us we're pretty numbskulled all the time anyway, but, you know, for us to try to do this and figure this out, that's pretty difficult. But he did it. He trusted her. He trusted her, and he followed through, and he never left her. Never left her. She was his, and by golly, he was going to take care of her. I think, again, maybe the greatest act of trust ever exhibited between a man and a woman. Number two, remember how the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. You've heard that probably every wedding you've ever been to, right? Well, I think Joseph was the greatest example in history of a husband putting his wife above all else except Jesus and loving her as Christ loved the church. If there was a better example, I'd love to hear it. I think he was it. I think he was the hero here. I think he did exactly what we're called to do as husbands. And I think he did it under the brightest lights and the greatest stage with the Heavenly Father watching him. And I think he came through with flying colors. And that's why I think he's a hero. Number three, he trusted God to work out every problem that he encountered. When he submitted himself to God's will, he said, okay, just like Mary did, your will be done. Joseph said, okay, this is what you want me to do. This is what I'm going to do. Your will be done. I will submit myself, even though I'm being told by my family, my friends, my law, myself, my heart, my head, everything within me and around me is telling me, don't do this. You're making a huge mistake. I'm going to commit myself to your will. And he trusted that God would work out every problem. And there were problems, as we've just talked about. Some tiny, some big. There were problems. But he stayed true to the course. He did. How many times have you asked yourself this? Can I trust God to work out every problem I encounter if I submit myself to his will? If you know that God is leading you in a certain way, and you really, your heart's telling you you need to go a different way, but you feel God pulling you over here, have you asked yourself, can I trust that God is going to work out every problem along the way here because I see some problems coming? Can I trust him? He's going to work out every problem if I submit myself to his will. We don't always do that. Joseph did. I'm going to trust God. There's going to be problems. I know there is. And he had to know that, right? He had to know under the circumstances there were going to be issues. And yet he trusted God to work out all those problems. And he followed the will of God. Follow what God wanted him to do for the good of Mary and for the good of this baby. And as it turns out, for the good of you and me. Were there no Joseph to protect them? Were there no Joseph to do what he did? Maybe our lives wouldn't be what they are. If Joseph would have said, stone her, Think about that. Now, I'm pretty sure God would have intervened in some way or another, but think about that. Lesson 4. In all things, no matter how bleak, no matter how much we can't understand them, no matter how confusing, no matter how hurtful, no matter how heartbroken, no matter anything, in all things, God is in control. And I think we can see that in this Christmas story from the very beginning, from the time the angel appeared to Mary until Jesus was born and then safely transported into Egypt so that he avoided Herod's murder spree. God was in control the entire time. So, I have always, ever since I was young, and I mean, you know, at St. Augustine Catholic School, 8 years old, 9 years old, I've always loved the Christmas story. Always loved it, and I always loved Joseph because of what he did and the decisions that he made and the sacrifices that he made so that the Savior, my Savior, could be born and be protected. So I always have considered him to be the unsung hero of Christmas. We always talk about Jesus, and well, we should. And we always talk about God the Father, and well, we should. And their Holy Spirit, and well, we should. And we always talk about Mary, the Mother of God, and the sacrifices that she went through. Tim talked about it beautifully last week. Nobody ever talks about Joseph. But I think he's a hero. And I think we have big time lessons that we can learn from him. So when you're going through Christmas this year and everything is rush, 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 and you're having fits because you can't have the family over that you wanted to have over, and you're trying to make a meal and things aren't going right, and you know, this string of lights went out and cat jumped up the tree and dog bit the, you know, something off the tree, or something's going on and it's frustrating and it's whatever. Imagine, go back and put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a little bit and think about what his Christmas was like on the first Christmas. Think about that. Think about what his Christmas was like. And you know what? At the end of it all, I'm pretty sure when it was all said and done that he probably knelt down one night after it was quiet over in Egypt, and he knew that he had kept Mary and Jesus safe. And he probably fell down to his knees and he said, "Father, thanks for choosing me. Thanks for picking me." Thanks, folks.